Chapter 22. Consternation reigned at Katia. A luckless stoat had been volunteered from the cell guards by Fortune Arthur and Clud, and he was pushed unwillingly into Sarmina's chamber.
Your match of the Green Queenest, upper of all ruler and lower moss, the prisoners have gone!
Gone? What do you mean, gone?
The Wildcat Queen left the seat in a single bound and picked the stoat up by his throat.
Escaped!
Sarmina threw the gurgling heap to the floor. Her voice echoed in the stairway as she dashed down to the cells.
Escaped? Impossible! Guards, get down to the cells, quickly!
The cells were searched. The corridors were scoured. The outer walls were surrounded. The parade ground was gone over inch by inch. The barracks were turned inside out. Not a room, passage, cupboard, chamber, kitchen, guardhouse or scullery remained unprobed. Gingivere, however, was officially non-existent. His cell was not searched. Nobody thought of looking in a prison cell that was already bolted and barred. Except, maybe, Sarmina. Columbine sat up, rubbing sleep from her eyes. Was it night or day, she wondered. How long had she slept in this warm, dry cavern? Everything seemed so quiet and peaceful after the noise and panic of the battle she had witnessed. There was an old patchwork quilt covering her. She pushed it to one side as a little mole maid entered.
Morning, Tui. Welcome to Moldeep. Breakfast be ready.
She followed the mole into a larger cave, where Ben Stickle and the woodlanders, who had been injured, sat with the loam hedge mice and the mole community. Formole waved her to a place between himself and a grizzled old mole whose fur was completely grey.
Steady by your maid. This be our Dinny, to the young Rip's grandfer.
Old Dinny nodded and continued spooning honeyed oatmeal. Obviously, the moles liked a good solid start to the day. There was a variety of cooked roots and tubers, most of which Columbine had never seen before. All of them tasted delicious, whether salted, sugared, or dipped in honey and milk. Some of the moles did all four. The bread was wafer thin and tasted of almonds. Small cakes patterned with buttercups were served warm. There were fluffy napkins and bowls of steaming rose water to cleanse sticky paws. As Columbine nibbled at a rye biscuit and sipped fragrant mint tea, she could not help asking Formole where all the huge, deeper-than-ever pies and solid trencher food the moles seemed to favour were. Formole chuckled. He gestured at the table with a massive digging claw.
Oh, Combulini, this year be only a light breakfast for you and your friends. We'm fancied it up a bit for ye. Moles be only eating solid victuals at eventide when they's hungered greatly.
Columbine nodded and smiled politely, trying to hide her amazement.
Oh, I say, just a light breakfast.
As Columbine ate, she remembered Gomph. If only he were here amid this friendly company with her. She mentally wagered with herself that he would know the name and taste of every dish, and probably be jokingly chided for having stole many of them in bygone days. She pictured her mouse thief, jesting with everybody, imitating mole speech, and singing ballads as he composed them. The young mousemaid heaved a sigh into her mint tea. It dissolved in a small cloud of fragrant steam. Where, oh where, was Gonf on this beautiful morning? It was nearly mid-morning when the light breakfast reached its conclusion. Then, guarded and guided by the mole community, Columbine and her friends made their way back to Brockhall by a secret woodland route. Martin, Gonf and Dinny were wide awake by daybreak. They crouched in the small cave, eating breakfast, as they watched the grey, drizzly dawn. Packing the food away, the travellers stamped life back into their numbed paws. Surprisingly, Gonf was first to step outside.
Come on, mateys. It'll brighten up by mid-morning. You wait and see. I'm a prince of predictors.
Striding out, they left the low hills behind to face yet more flatlands. Wakened grouse whirred into the damp morning air at their approach.
Salamandastron, look where we've come from. Three of Mossflower's best, marching out upon our quest. Salamandastron.
Scratch sighted the three dim forms through the layers of drizzling rain.
There they go. Come on, you two. I've got a feeling that today's the day we catch him. Come on, move yourselves. The sooner it's done, the quicker we'll get back to Cuttier. Aye, good solid food again, a long rest, and maybe a bit of honour and glory.
Oh, I'm soaked right through.
Splitnose complained.
Me too,
grumbled Blacktooth.
I never slept a wink again. Sitting out on top of a hill, miles from anywhere in the pouring rain, stiff all over, cold, hungry,
Shut up!
Scratch interrupted bitterly.
Put a button in your drivelling lip. Look at me. I'm weary, saturated and starved. But do you hear me whimpering on about it all the time? Up on your paws and try to look like you're the Queen's soldiers from Cuttier.
They trekked westward, pursuing the travellers. Splitnose was muttering as he kicked a pebble along in front of himself.
Honour and glory. Clod'll get all that, and he can keep it too. Now, if it was on a cake and a mug of hot glory, that'd be a different thing.
On a cake and hot glory drink? Don't talk such rubbish, soggy head!
Blacktooth laughed.
Soggy head yourself, drippy nose.
Crinkle claws.
Greasy fur.
Beetle bottom.
Stop the gab and get marching, both of you.
Scratch told them. True to Gomp's prediction, the rain ceased. Above the plains, the sun came out to watch fluffy clouds sailing about on the breeze across a lake of bright blue sky. Dinny sniffed the air, wiggling his claws.
Boar, there's water nearby, lightly a pond or tarn. Mayhap us'll catch a little fish, be good eating her.
Martin looked sideways at Gomp.
How does he know there's water near? I can't smell a thing.
The mouse thief shrugged.
Neither can he, matey. Moles probably feel it through the earth with their digging claws.
Dinny nodded wisely.
Boar, us'ns do smell lots of things with us claws.
Gomp winked at the warrior mouse.
That's the nice thing about moles. They always have a sensible explanation which we can all understand.
The three friends laughed aloud. Dinny proved as good at predicting as Gomp. Midday found the travellers at the edge of a large pond. Bulrushes and reeds surrounded the margin. Small water lilies budded on the surface. The glint of silver scales beneath the water promised good fishing. At first, Martin was loath to stop. But realising the valuable addition a fish would make to their supplies, he called a halt. While his friends went about fishing, the warrior posted himself on guard to watch for their pursuers. Dinny sat on the edge of the bank, immersing his paws in the shallows with exclamations of delight.
Oh, bliss and joys! This be the life, Gomphin!
The mouse thief had cast a line, baited with a tiny red mudworm. In seconds, it was snatched by a voracious stickleback.
Ha! Look, matey!
He called.
I've got a bite! Come to Gomp, all greedy guts!
Martin crept up behind them. He placed a paw gently on each of his friend's shoulders as he whispered to them.
Shh! Listen to me. We are in great danger. Don't make a sound if you value our lives.